Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons on the Score.
This hour on the Score brought to you by the Chicago Golf Show featuring special guest Robbie Gould. For tickets, go to chicagogolfshow.com. You can go to the McNeil and Parkins Twitter account and you'll see the Solemn Oath beer, the 83 Nation with the snake that these guys claim is a 8-3, but, you know, ish.
Must be strong.
Yeah.
The brew must be strong if that looks like an 83 to those two.
But it is a really cool logo. I will say that.
And by all reports, a really damn good beer.
Exactly. So I maybe
can't
I'm focusing
open,
on the...
Trying to push you in the way to get that thing open sooner than later.
We can drink it earlier if you want.
Okay.
That's fine.
Make the 4 o'clock and 5 o'clock hours that much more fun.
That's right. William Shep, we taped it earlier today. You'll hear it at 3:40. As Shep said, it's a conversation with Bill Shatner.
That's the perfect way to describe it. It's factually accurate.
With two people who know nothing about Star Trek.
Exactly. You find the two people probably at the... I'm not saying that this is like a station that's... The hallways are littered with Trekkies by any means, but I have trouble believing there's two people that have combined to watch fewer minutes of Star Trek in their lives than us two that walk around here on a regular basis.
That is correct. So I'm looking forward to reliving the awkwardness of that conversation.
About that show that neither of us watched, but yet a legendary character.
He was great. I thoroughly enjoyed it. So we'll laugh at the absurdity of us taping with Captain Kirk coming up in 35, 40 minutes or so. But all right, so the All-Star Weekend is over. I have a lot of fun with it every year. It's empty calories. It's silly. I called it a guilty pleasure. It's an insignificant sporting event that I just happen to love every minute of.
Yeah, it's like your Olympics or of sorts, kind of.
Except the Olympics have some meaning and patriotism, and people work their whole lives for it. This is just
people work their whole lives to be NBA All-Stars, though. Sure, they might think I want to be MVP or be a world champion, but they work to be All-Stars as well, so it's got the competitive feel and whatnot. But I don't know. I've never been that for the NBA All-Star game. I love the Saturday night part is always fun. Dunk contest was solid this year. Three-point contest is always fun as well. As for the game, like, I enjoyed this game more than I've enjoyed a lot of the more recent ones. Maybe it's because
You
had a comeback of sorts in that, and it starts off and no one's playing a lick of defense. Not that that's why you tune into an All-Star game to see defense played. But you had to come back from Team LeBron and that part of it. And Steph Curry was trying to shoot his way back into the game for Team Giannis. And he couldn't hit a three to save his life for whatever reason last night. But I was hoping it'd be a little bit closer later on in that game, the final 2 minutes, 3 minutes of it, because that's the one that you get usually. Like, if it's close late, like, everyone does kind of rev it up another level, and you can see some highly competitive basketball and whatnot in there. So I was hoping for it to be a little bit closer late, but hey, otherwise it seemed like a fun event for a few days in Charlotte.
Yeah, they played more defense last year because they got called out so much for how bad it was 2 years ago. So I thought the quality last year was better than this year overall, but whatever. It's a fun, silly weekend that has a bunch of celebrity, a lot of hip-hop culture, the NBA, crazy fashion, a weird intermixing of people, great parties, and it's just a scene. It's just a fun scene with the best athletes in the world messing around. Like that alley-oop from Steph Curry to Giannis, where he bounced it off the ground and the ball went so high into the air that it went out of the television shot, and you lost the ball for a second, and then Giannis came back down and stuffed it. It's like the only place in the world ever that you'll be able to see that play is NBA All-Star Weekend.
I want to know if that was, like, practiced. If that's something that Steph Curry does when he's screwing around at practice and just like, all right, how can I bounce this thing and how accurate can I do that? Because he did that. Like, they couldn't have rehearsed that. They couldn't have practiced that whatsoever. That's just Steph Curry having an incredibly accurate bounce pass that happens to go 15 feet in the air. And Giannis being Giannis and being a Greek freak and nearly jumping out of the gym to get it and throw it down.
And so that's why it's cool. Like, it feels like sometime, like every year something like that happens that you'll never be able to see because it can only happen when this collection of talent in the world gets mm-hmm. together with really no stakes. Like, Kobe and Michael Jordan they played one-on-one, basically, in one of Michael Jordan's last All-Star games. Remember?
It was where Jordan hit what was supposed to be the last, like, great moment in his career, hits the last shot, and then what it was, ended up hitting a shot right afterwards.
Correct. But just like, okay, that's kind of cool. Or you see, big men shooting threes, like when Shaq would shoot a three and it became a thing. Mm-hmm. Or when Westbrook and Durant hadn't been speaking to each other, and then all of a sudden, are they going to pass or what are they going to do? It's just like weird little things in the NBA ecosystem that make it fun. And then I had this thought, and I know that in this city it can be fairly polarizing to say anything other than Jordan is the greatest ever. And Jordan will always be my greatest ever because kid in the 90s, Chicago, the whole thing.
Sure.
But when I was watching that dunk contest and Diallo from the Thunder jumped over Shaquille O'Neal and finished with the Vince Carter
arm in the
elbow through the rim thing, right? Mm-hmm. So Vince Carter's dunk contest where he put the elbow into the rim was 19 years ago.
Crazy.
Right? Crazy how long ago it was, how time flies. Doesn't it feel factual that, like, the evolution of athletes leads to that the best to ever do it are playing right now?
Yes.
In all sports?
Yes.
Okay.
It's like when you have conversations of, oh, he's the best football player of all time. It's like you probably take an average running back in the NFL right now and you throw him in what was going on in 60s football or 70s football. It's like, yeah, that's the best player in the league. Give him the MVP.
By far. And now, like, I get
physically,
it.
They're just different human beings at this point.
Right. Year-round job training, massage therapy, supplements.
Specialization, all of it.
Nutrition, first-class airfare, the millions of dollars that go to it. You don't have a second job in the offseason. So, like, it feels to me like it's logical to say that the best football players in the world ever are playing right now. Mm-hmm. The best baseball players ever are playing right now. The best basketball players are playing right now. So what Diallo did was a remarkable accomplishment of athleticism. And I watched a video clip of every dunk that Jordan ever did in the dunk contest. The Ball in His Life Twitter account put together a compilation of the multiple dunk contests that he was in. He did the same dunks.
That's my point.
I didn't know that.
I was on Saturday with Speaks, and we were talking about this because it's the night of the dunk contest, and we brought up the Jordan versus Dominique and the photo that Mac always talks about that he doesn't like because there's no defenders that are in it. But it's where Jordan launches from the free throw line and he dunks to get the score of 50 and win the dunk contest. And my argument's not that, all right, yes, that's an iconic photo. It's an awesome photo and it's cool of Nike that they didn't start their campaign after that, but that was like the literal poster for the Jordan campaign. It was cool. It's great. But he literally used the exact same dunk the year before to win it when the All-Star game, I think, was in, I forget, Indianapolis or Seattle. Like, he did the exact same thing. So on creativity alone, it's a zero because, yeah, we've seen you do that before. It's like pulling out a card trick. All right, yeah, you bent the corner of the card. I've seen you do it before. Show's kind of over. On to something else.
So I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
You know, like that it was literally the same dunks from one year to the next, as if we didn't have video.
Yes, things have gotten better.
but so much better. He jumped over Shaq. He did Vince Carter's dunk,
mm-hmm.
except jumping over the biggest person in that stadium.
Well, it feels
that is crazy.
Yeah, the literal 7'2" guy that weighs 320 plus. Like, yeah, jump over him. Like, jump over a wall, essentially, is what he did.
And don't just jump over him, but jump over him with enough room that you can hang from the rim by your elbow.
Like, and you bring up Vince Carter, and that's 19 years ago. Watching Vince Carter in that dunk contest, it felt like you were watching an alien.
Correct.
Like, compared to what you remember from 90s dunks contests of Harold Miner, oh, wow, he did like a reverse 360, whatever the heck it was. It was like nothing special. And Isaiah Ryder does the one that he goes under the leg and dunks, and oh, my God, that's the most unbelievable thing. It's like they were cool. And then Vince Carter happened, and you're like, this is a different level of everything. And it kind of ruined dunk contests for me for a good 10 years or so after that, because it's like, there's no way you're matching what Vince did that night when he was playing with the Raptors at Golden State. I think it was at Golden State where he performed it. But yeah,
well, because it's not all linear, right? So, like, I'm not saying that Diallo is necessarily the best dunker in the history of the sport.
No.
I'm just saying that, like, this era of athlete is the best that athleticism have ever been. And so, right, so maybe Vince Carter was ahead of his time and he was the best dunker for 5 years, 10 years into the future, or whatever the case may be. But Zach LaVine could do every dunk that Vince Carter did.
Definitely.
Right?
Yeah,
but he has the athleticism to do every dunk that Vince Carter did 19 years ago. He has that athleticism to do today. And so I was just thinking, like, watching it, it's like, where in sports would we not agree with that?
Like, where what sports hold up?
And, well, the argument holding up, but like where what sport has it where the best is not the current version of that person, right? Like, I heavyweight boxing comes to mind.
Sure.
Like, boxing's not as popular. There are not as many people getting into boxing.
Right.
So it stands to reason that
theoretically, it doesn't take as much to get to the top.
Correct. There was more talent, more competition back in the heyday of boxing. So, like, mm-hmm. boxing is one that stands to reason that would. But all of the sports that have a bunch of people still playing it, and I'm no hockey expert, so some people are texting in Wayne Gretzky, and I know his numbers totally stand the test of time, but is that right?
Like, it's an entirely different game.
Is Wayne Gretzky clearly much more individually talented than Sidney Crosby or Patrick Kane or Alex Ovechkin?
That's a great question.
I don't feel qualified necessarily to answer it for hockey, but I do feel fairly confident that Mike Trout, if you dropped him in Babe Ruth's era, mm-hmm. Mike Trout would be better than Babe Ruth.
Well, that was the,
I feel fairly confident in saying that.
Yeah, and it's like that's the discussion. I think Joe Pazansky wrote about it last week, and it was if Babe Ruth and everything that Babe Ruth was in, what was 27 was his best year. If you take 1927 Babe Ruth and you drop him in today, what kind of baseball player would he be? Would he be able to be Babe Ruth? Would he be awful? What would it be? And I mean, I can't help but think that, yeah, the guy that eats 16 hot dogs and gets drunk every night before a game and right afterwards, it wouldn't be any damn good in today's game.
Right.
Like, I don't think that it's, like, baseball's supposed to be that sport, and that's why so many people got upset over the steroid era and mad about that, because it was supposed to be the one that, okay, you can take whatever legendary, you can take Mickey Mantle out of his era, drop him in today, and it would be the same game that's being played. It would be the closest to the same game that's being played, even though we've seen the shift in velocities. We've seen, like, what, Walter Johnson, they say that he threw 92, 93 miles an hour, and he was the hardest thrower of his time at that point. It's like Walter Johnson might have been the most dominating and scary pitcher then. You walk out throwing 92, 93 today, no one's shaking in the batter's box getting ready to face you.
Absolutely. The rules change, and you got to adjust for era, and you play before, like, integration. And so, sure, yeah. There's 100 factors. But simply from an athleticism standpoint, and I had never really thought about it in those terms before, but it should kind of simplify the arguments. And I know a lot of people, I know certainly, like, my dad has been this way, and older people that I talk to about sports are like, you know, these guys today, it's not like it was in my era. You romanticize your past, right? Mm-hmm. Like, people romanticize the music of their childhood.
Like our generation, 90s NBA. Nothing's better than the 90s NBA. You had the Bulls and Knicks in the playoffs every year, and you had all that. You had stars everywhere, Olajuwon and Ewing and everyone. It was a great league, and the league's just not the same when you look at it and you're like, wait, the stardom in the NBA is strong, probably stronger than it's ever been.
If you watch, like, 1980s NBA basketball
God.
If you watch, like, those Bird Magic classic games.
The set shot.
Yeah. And it was so slow.
Mm-hmm.
If you took...
It also looks so... Everyone looks so small. Like, when you see the highlights on the NBA channel, or you just see the old highlights, and you're like, this, everything just seems smaller.
If you,
guys' bodies aren't nearly as wide and all of it.
And so if you took an all-star team of the Celtics and Lakers of the 80s, mm-hmm. right? You made Magic Johnson and Larry Bird teammates. And you right, the best of those, that the 80s, you made best
Worthy
of them.
Worthy and everyone, yeah.
And then they got in a DeLorean, and they flew to 2019, and now we're talking about time travel, and they played the Warriors. Don't you think the Warriors would go in, and they played a full season of basketball?
Yeah, it's my argument.
82-0. The Warriors would win every game. It's a total. Who the hell's guarding Kevin Durant?
That's a great.
Like, you know what I mean? Who in the 80s is guarding?
KD's putting up 60 and 90 in that season, too. Great question.
And so, in a way, it's just kind of freeing when you're talking about comparing eras, but it's like, we should just stop because the athletes of the present day, unless there's some extenuating circumstance, like I mentioned with boxing or some sort of like golf, like, the woods aren't wood anymore, so the equipment is just totally different, so it's impossible to compare it at all. But, like, if it's an American team sport that has a basically unlimited group of talent to pick from, it feels fairly safe to say that the modern version of that athlete is the best to ever do it simply because of human evolution and athleticism.
Yeah, the name that comes to mind for me, and I'm not qualified to speak on this sport with any intelligence whatsoever, but like if Pelé were to be put into soccer in the European leagues or the Premier League today, would Pelé be? I have no idea the answer to that question.
I would think no.
But regarded widely as far and away the best soccer player of all time and
But I would
whatnot,
think that Messi's training
I would
and
think, yes.
speed and exposure and being able to do it year-round and national team travel and exposure to the best players in the world and more tournaments, like, no, I would think that Messi would destroy Pelé. Now, again, I have no idea. But, you know, anyway, when Diallo was hanging on the rim, I was just like, wow. He did, so Vince Carter considered the greatest dunker in the history of the sport,
mm-hmm.
the best dunk contest performance in the history of the sport, and some guy that nobody knows who the hell he is just did Vince Carter's dunk, except his wrinkle was jumping over Shaq. That's evolution.
Right.
That is evolution.
It is absurd. And it's like, yeah, I don't know where the equivalent is. Like, I don't know what that sport is that where you can just, I don't know, transcend time or be able to
and this is to
fast forward 30 years and someone that was great still be great. I don't know if that exists.
Well, this is the other thing. People say if they play 80s style, they would beat the snot out of the Warriors.
They don't play 80s style anymore.
No, but... And no, they wouldn't, because there was a three-point line in the 80s.
Right.
So as long as the Warriors were still allowed to shoot three-pointers...
Shooting 15% better from beyond the arc than you each night.
And they're getting stronger. Like, this idea, like, oh, LeBron would not have been able to succeed in Jordan's era. Man, LeBron is bigger, stronger, and faster than Jordan. So why would a more physical brand of basketball hurt the most physically dominant basketball player of the modern era?
Right. Charles Oakley's going to knock LeBron James down and slow him down? Like, is that your argument? Oh, he couldn't have survived in the 80s and 90s. Bill Laimbeer is going to give LeBron an elbow? It's kind of been done. The Bulls are one of them.
Yeah.
They tried to out-physical LeBron James. How did that work? Not well.
Right. And it's just like, okay, like, yeah, you're right. It was a different game. It was more physical. They'd be bodied up or whatever. But they're better athletes. They're stronger. Yeah. They're bigger. They're faster. They can jump higher.
What happens when you pour the millions upon millions of dollars into a league and you make it a career and a career that you don't have to have the, oh, I have a part-time job during the summer months because my salary is not paying me enough to get by in this NBA salary. Like, you get paid like a superstar deserves to get paid, and you make it into an actual profession. And yes, as a result, the training that goes in, not just during the season or a couple of weeks before the season, it gets ramped up in your off months as well, and this is the result. It is freakishly gifted, great athletes.
It was just kind of a freeing thought. I was like, oh, Diallo's a better athlete than any of those old heads. So what are we even doing comparing the eras anymore? We'll cast the Chicago All-Star Weekend and then our conversation with Bill Shatner coming up in a bit. Shep's in for Mac. It's Mac and Parkins on the Score.
Please welcome to the court the president and chief operating operator of the Chicago Bulls, Michael Reinstorf. He is being joined by a guy who brought their city great basketball memories from North Carolina, a 6'6 guard and chairman of the Charlotte Hornets, Michael Jordan. And as the ceremony of all is passed to our next host, we can begin looking ahead to seeing you all in Chicago next February.
It's kind of shocking that Michael Jordan got a bigger ovation than Michael Reinstorf in Charlotte.
Who would have possibly guessed?
Hard to imagine.
Ray Clay, that PA guy, was not, by the way.
No, he was not. Bulls are on the clock. Chicago's on the clock for All-Star Weekend next year. Greatest athletes in the world will be coming to Chicago.
Now, you could not be happier, could you?
Oh, so excited.
Like, I have wanted the baseball All-Star game to get rewarded to be in Chicago since I've gotten into this industry. Okay,
it'll happen.
I will get that press pass, and I will be there every second I can possibly be there to try to get any access to any of the players, hell, any of the legends that come along with the fact that your game is the All-Star game is being played in your city as well. Like, it attracts that. But you are definitely that for the NBA.
I've already rejected your press pass, by the way. You can't go. I applied for you. You can't go. I'm sorry.
Okay.
That's management right there.
Yeah, that's right. I'm
dropping the hammer. But killing dreams.
When the All-Star game is next at Wrigley Field or Guaranteed Rate Field, will Shane be the
boss?
The boss.
I'm sorry, you can't go either.
Okay. Oh, man.
I'm just curious.
I won't be the boss, no, but I'm still in charge of credentials. You can't.
You're still in charge of credentials.
Yeah. I think
credential
the,
giver.
The Cubs are trying, I think they're applying for what, 2021?
Is
the next one that they're applying for?
And they were supposed to get to the most recent one that was handed out, but the Indians got rid of Chief Wahoo, so as a thank you, Rob Manfred goes and gives them the All-Star game, despite that stadium already hosting one, 20 years ago or whatever it was?
Yeah, we can talk about Rob Manfred and tee him up a little bit later on in the show today. Tony Clark from the Players Union responded to him, but next year, I think I know the dunk contest.
Yeah?
I think I got the four for you.
Okay.
I think
I'm curious to hear it.
I think it's fairly straightforward and obvious. Diallo gets to defend his title.
Yes, he should.
That always happens, right? So the guy who just jumped over Shaq and then did the Vince Carter dunk, he gets to defend his title.
He put the Vince Carter dunk on steroids is what he did.
Then the best head-to-head dunk contest in many, many years, and arguably ever, going back to Neek v. Jordan, is Aaron Gordon against Zach LaVine.
Mm-hmm.
You bring those guys back for part three of their head-to-head battle, and then you get a hometown guy that Zach LaVine will be on the Bulls participating in Chicago. So you get the home crowd enthusiasm behind Zach LaVine. So you get LaVine, Gordon, Diallo, and then Zion. Zion as a rookie.
Yeah, the highly touted rookie it's rare that rookies play in the All-Star game. It happens about once a decade, it seems. So he probably won't be an All-Star next year. But yeah, that's about as star-studded as, in terms of selling that, defending champ, two from the best. Like, you're missing legit superstar in the league.
You're missing a superstar.
Thing. Like, Zion, you think, is going to be that. He's not going to be it when he's 19 or 20 years old or whatever he will be next year playing in his rookie season.
But there wasn't a superstar this year.
You're right.
There's often not a superstar.
You're right. Like, I look at it, and, like, last time it was in Chicago in 88, you had two of, the five or six best players from the 80s in Jordan and Wilkins squaring off?
Yeah.
Like, it'd be cool if you could somehow get that. That you have, you're not going to, megastars just don't do it, simply.
Well, and, some of them are past their prime
dunking
for
primes,
it, right?
Yeah.
It's, Westbrook's had too many injuries, mm-hmm. LeBron's way too old, he's passed up that opportunity, Blake Griffin's not doing it anymore.
Yeah, it wouldn't be the same if he did.
It wouldn't be the same if he did. So it's a young man's game.
Right.
So it's a young star's game. I just like the idea of, if LaVine's going to be in because they'll want a hometown guy, but running him back against Gordon since they had the epic back-to-back battles with it. And then Zion, I think's a lock, and then Diallo's got to defend his crown. And I think that's a pretty good dunk contest. And then the cool spin on it would be, And this might feel too small for Jordan because Jordan doesn't generally like to do things where he's on a panel where he's seen as equals with other people. But Jordan and Dominique have to be judges.
Yeah. And then Dominique can go back and retroactively give himself the score that he deserved and walk away with the dunk title from 1988.
Yes, but I Neek and Jordan have to be involved in some form or fashion.
You have to highlight it.
Right?
Like, no one ever remembers like actual All-Star game performances. They're few and far between. What is it? Magic Johnson, after he had retired and got welcomed back by the fans, they had voted him in. They had written him into the ballots.
Yeah.
He hits a bunch of threes, whatever it was, 92 or 93, whichever year that was. But it's like, you don't really remember the games. You remember, okay, like, we'll remember the dunk, the Steph Curry bounce pass to Giannis yesterday. I mean, I thought the texter pointed out too earlier, the Steph Curry dunk at the end of the game, which had no impact on anything.
Yeah, it was cool.
But the, like, bounce pass to himself, like, that was that would have been one of the top runner-ups for the dunk contest. Like, that thing was sick.
Well, and it was like Ichiro hitting home runs. Everyone was like, oh.
Whoa. You can pull that out.
Wasn't 100%
sure.
That's
a hell of a club to have.
Yeah, exactly. Part of that was the surprise element of Steph Curry dunking. And yeah, texters are saying, well, then there will be two Bulls in the dunk contest next year because LaVine and Zion will both be Bulls. And I hope that's the case. And that would be, like Marlo Stanfield says, one of them good problems.
Yeah.
If there's there's too much Bulls hometown representation.
Zion in his New York Knicks jersey won't quite do the same as if it was in a Bulls uniform, unfortunately.
Did you watch the three-point contest?
I did not.
Okay, well, so before the three-point contest started, they did – it was kind of sad. They trotted out, like, the legends, because obviously you can't do a legends dunk contest because Neek isn't exactly getting up there anymore. But so they had –
put him on, like, a little Tykes hoop. Put him on, like, a seven-foot hoop. That's what they should
do. That's just mean. They had a different legend at all five stations. You know what I mean? It was like Glenn Rice.
Tim Legler shows up.
Seriously, man. Like Ray Allen looked like he could go out there
I did see highlights of Ray Allen now that you say that.
But I mean,
and I was like, wow, Ray Allen still has a sweet stroke. Who would have guessed?
But Del Curry had, like, a serious gut, and he was, like, the silver-haired fox. Glenn Rice had put on a solid 50.
Glenn Rice was like, I don't ever want to call, like, Glenn Rice fat, but he was, I think, the I'm Fat podcast. He'd probably be their favorite player of the 90s that they get behind.
You know when you say, like, I'm not going to call someone fat? You just called him fat.
It's like
and by the way,
what
Olden Polynes.
Miller?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably fair.
Olden
Candy. I was thinking of, like, actual good players. Like, I was thinking of, like, all-star caliber players. Glenn Rice was a little more round.
Glenn Rice?
Barkley is what I'll get thrown at, but I swear Glenn Rice, I don't know. Glenn Rice to me was a little thicker and more robust than...
He stole the MVP from Jordan at the All-Star game I was at in 97.
What a jerk.
He had 20 points in the third quarter to set the record for points in a quarter, but he only finished with 26. Jordan had the first triple-double in NBA All-Star game history with 14, 11, and 11, and they didn't give the All-Star game MVP to Mike.
Still upset about that?
A little.
Man.
I'll get over it eventually.
You said you went to the dunk contest in 97, right?
Yeah, Kobe.
It's the historic worst dunk contest of all time, is widely regarded.
It's not good.
No one could make a dunk, and Cody Westerlund.
Now, Cody in a dunk contest. That should be the fourth.
Yeah, that's the move. Yeah.
You're going to have Dominique, you're going to have Jordan be judges, and the third judge will be our very own Cody Westerlund.
Yeah, lots of misses I think at dunking. That dunk contest. That was disappointing.
They were so bad they stopped it for like 2 or 3 years. And then Vince, they finally returned with.
Correct.
And that's part of the reason Vince's is probably historically, you remember it being so great, because what was before it was just awful and non-existent.
Did you know about that Vince Carter dunk contest that Tracy McGrady, they had to like beg him to be in it because they liked the idea of Vince going up against his cousin, but McGrady knew that he's like, I can't beat him.
Yeah.
So he's like, I don't want to do it. And they had to beg McGrady to be in that dunk contest. So they had another star name opposite Vince.
Yeah, there's an awesome documentary. It's only about an hour long, hour 20 minutes long, on Vince Carter on Netflix. I forget the exact name of it, but it goes into the detail of Vince Carter and his rise to stardom in Toronto. But it tells a little bit of the stories during that All-Star game, and that everyone was staying in San Francisco. It's being played in Oakland. And it's before the days of like being able to order an Uber or whatever else. else, and you have the traveling secretaries with the team that are in charge of booking all of your scheduling, and all right, this guy's going to be here to pick you up. Well, they're sitting there in their hotel in downtown San Francisco waiting, and their driver never shows up.
Oh,
so
really?
That dunk contest almost never happened for either of them because they were simply stuck in their hotel, and they didn't know, are we just going to pay for a cab? They ended up just splitting a cab. So you see Vince Carter and Tracy McGrady riding the All-Star Game festivities together in the back of a cab.
Way to one-up my anecdote. That's a great story. I had no idea. Bottom of the hour on The Score, brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Don't miss Coach Collins and the Cats at the new Welch Ryan Arena this season for games with Minnesota and Ohio State. Tickets on sale now at nusports.com. Two guys who know absolutely nothing about Star Trek had a 10-minute conversation with William Shatner earlier today. You'll hear it coming up on The Score.
You know, before I answer any more questions, there's something I wanted to say. Having received all your letters over the years, and I've spoken to many of you, and some of you have traveled, you know, hundreds of miles to be here. I'd just like to say, get a life, will you, people? For crying out loud, it's just a TV show. I mean, look at you. Look at the way you're dressed. You've turned an enjoyable little job that I did as a lark for a few years into a colossal waste of time. I mean, how old are you people? What have you done with yourselves? You must be almost 30. Have you ever kissed a girl? I didn't think so. There's a whole world out there. When I was your age, I didn't watch television. I lived. So move out of your parents' basements and get your own apartments and grow the hell up.
Well, this is a treat. We get to talk to an absolute legend. William Shatner will be in town at the Rosemont Theater Friday, March 8th for a conversation and Q&A after a screening of Star Trek II: The Wrath of Khan. Bill Shatner with us on The Score. How you doing?
Oh, so good. You know, it's a novel, somewhat unusual idea that they'll play the film The Wrath of Khan, which was very popular and really is a good film. They'll play it on the big screen with the big sound, and then afterwards, I'll come out and interact with the audience, taking questions and having. It's worked so well in the past. We should have a lot of fun. I hope you guys come.
Well, yeah, we appreciate that, and it sounds like a cool event. Will you be watching the movie? I mean, how many times have you seen it at this point?
You know, I dislike watching myself so much. I've only seen bits and pieces of the movie. I know the last minute and a half very well. I sort of come on stage when the movie's just about over, because it's like listening to one. I imagine if you listen to any of your old shows, you think, oh, geez, at least I would think you would.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, I do about your show. No, I'm only kidding.
Yeah, no, trust me.
Trust me.
What's the hardest part of watching yourself?
The way time has played its effect on me, the performance or whatever it is I'm doing, I'm always faulting. It makes me unhappy, so I don't do it.
How does that work then when you go to the conventions and you have fans that want to talk about, almost like the SNL episode, you want to talk about episode 37 and you obviously then don't have the great detail or the recall because right. It's not as in your head. How does that kind of work out?
I change this, the subject and talk about Dan and Jason.
Well, we would certainly appreciate that. We're talking to Bill Shatner. He'll be at the Rosemont Theater Friday, March 8th. Ticketmaster outlets. And also, you can dial up 1-800-745-3000. That's 1-800-745-3000.
That's great.
What is the... You know, Star Trek fans are legendary. You're talking to two that we're not too familiar with the world. But do you have a story of a fan interaction that you're like, wow, that's going to stick with me forever?
There's so many, of course. It's hard to, but the immediate impression would be a fan who stole into my room. Somehow got a key. And stole my underwear. And then when I went to change my underwear, I caught a glimpse of myself. Then I had to go up to my hotel room and change my underwear. I couldn't find my underwear, and the phone rang, and there this lady says, I'll give you back your underwear, but you have to sign an autograph.
Oh, my God. What did you do?
Well, I signed the autograph. Unfortunately, it was her left breast.
Oh.
It could be worse.
Yeah, but it could be better. It could have been the right breast. yeah, it was that kind of foolishness that would go on. It's abated somewhat, you know. I think it's me. I'm abated.
The success of the show is obviously, that's unpredictable, but did you ever think that your career would be so typecast after your work with Star Trek and kind of lead you down what happened after?
You know, I played a leading man and a hero and a guy who gets the bad guy, and that's not a terrible thing to be typecast, but the fact is I wasn't typecast. I went on to do a variety of other things that had nothing to do with Captain Kirk. What it had to do with is the celebrity that Star Trek garnered me, so that I talked to people like yourself who allow me to come on your show and tell you that I'm going to appear in person at a theater and come and see me. You'll have a lot of fun. And that's as a result of years and years ago having been on this wonderful show.
So when was the moment in Bill Shatner's life, and I'm sure there are many of them, but where you found yourself being like, I can't believe I'm in this room with these people and I'm actually invited and supposed to be here?
I got back yesterday morning from Nashville. I was on the Grand Ole Opry. I sang a song from an album, a Western country music album that I have out there, called Why Not Me? And I sang the song with Jeff Cook, Why Not Me, in the Grand Ole Opry on the magical stage. And all these country music stars are all hovering around, shaking my hand, wanting to take a picture. And I'm thinking, I can't believe it. You know, what am I doing here?
How'd the performance go?
Well, I hope extremely well. I'm told it was, but people lie.
I'm sure people are very kind to you at all times.
That's what I mean. Let's be nice to the old guy.
Speaking of, you come from your Broadway roots and end up at Grand Ole Opry over the weekend, 87 years old. Any plans to slow down or only picking up the pace as we go along?
I'm becoming more and more conscious of the fact that if I'm going to do something, I better do it right now.
So what's still on the bucket list?
Well, I'm going to do a blues album. I'm trying to do a blues documentary, The Discovery of the Blues. A white guy from Montreal walks into the South and learns about the blues. It would be an interesting documentary. I'm on tour. I've got two movies coming to me out. There's a lot of stuff going on that, I can't die, I'm booked.
Yeah. Okay, that's a good line. The work keeps you going.
George Burns said, "I'm booked. I can't die." I wonder if it's funnier. Now, here's writing a comedy. Is it funnier to say I can't die, I'm booked, or I'm booked so I can't die?
I think the latter. I think I'm booked so I can't die is if you're just putting off death for a while because you've got the next gig.
Well, how about let me try this. I can't die because I'm booked.
That's good. Yeah, there you go.
I'm booked. I can't die.
Hey, Shep, we just workshopped a joke with Bill Shatner.
Hey, it's
exactly right.
Cross that off our bucket list. Yeah.
And actually, you need an audience. So when I'm at the Rosemont Theater, when am I there?
Friday, March 8th.
I'll be there. We'll try that joke out in front of the audience, and the audience will tell us which is funnier.
Well, as long as you're involved, I think we'll get plenty of laughs then.
Don't suck up to Bill Shatner.
I know us two sure as heck aren't going to do it ourselves, so we're going to be relying heavily on you.
Don't discourage him. It's an activity that's very invaluable.
Sucking up to Bill Shatner? Yeah,
Shatner.
Of course
sure.
It is.
Any plans? Your next kidney stone, going to sell that for $25,000 again for charity?
$25,000. Your information is incorrect. It was $75,000. The cast of Boston Legal kicked in another $25,000, and with that $100,000, we bought a home for a family in the New Orleans area.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay.
That's deep research.
How do you come in, like, who comes up with that idea? I remember eBay days, Luis Gonzalez, an old baseball player, spit out bubblegum in spring training, and that it, someone picked it up, sold it on eBay for thousands upon thousands of dollars. Who put that idea in your head for, hey, this can go to a great cause and raise a ton of money?
A online gambling firm who can't advertise by law but can do promotion. I've forgotten the name of them, but they were the ones that a boxer with their name on their on his back, and they bought a sandwich with the with which what looked like the face of Christ on it, and they bought the sandwich, a cheese sandwich. So they called me and they offered me the $25,000, and I said I want $100, and that we settled on $75, and we gave it to charity.
All right, that's a hell of a gig. All right, so that was Shep's piece of random Bill Shatner trivia. Here's mine that I wanted to know if it was true. Was Eddie Murphy really almost in Star Trek?
I never heard that one.
I read...
How can you be almost in something?
He turned down episode 4, Star Trek 4, and he ended up doing Boomerang, but that it was a regret.
Huh. I did a movie with... I don't remember what happened to the movie.
okay.
Well, that happened.
Wikipedia lied to me, Bill. That's what I'm telling you.
There are a lot of actors who wish to forget things they've done. I just forget them inadvertently. I don't know whether that's true or not.
All right. Well, first
but
time.
Let's say it is. I mean, if he said that, why not believe him?
Yeah, exactly, and it's the first time ever that the internet's had something that was factually inaccurate. William Shatner will be at the Rosemont Theater Friday, March 8th. You can get tickets at all Ticketmaster outlets or dial up the theater at 1-800-745-3000.
Bill, I would enjoy you guys coming as well.
Thank you very much. Thanks for coming on the show.
Take care, man.
That is Bill Shatner. We told you, someone just texted in, what am I listening to? Like we said. It was a conversation with Bill Shatner.
It was.
That's what that was.
It's two guys that have watched maybe 3 minutes combined of Star Trek their entire lives, so we couldn't ask in great detail about that. It's a guy that's obviously seen some things and whatever else in his life, and
he's
has 10 minutes to spare,
life.
So why not spend 10 minutes with us? I can't think of a better way to spend 10 minutes on President's Day.
Yeah, no, it was fine. He certainly hasn't, you know, he's 87, still pretty sharp. And he didn't really know if he was on the radio or who necessarily he was talking to. Did not know when he was going to be in Rosemont.
Hey, when am I going to be there, guys? The notes.
I feel like you guys have that.
I got 6 of these to do today. Let's knock them out.
I definitely gave him some pity laughs listening
Bill
back.
Shatner,
It's Bill Shatner.
Captain Kirk, man.
Captain Kirk,
if it does anything for you.
If
it means anything.
There he was. And then you say you're typecast, and he's like, well, I wasn't exactly typecast.
Well, there's a story that after his Star Trek days that he couldn't find an acting gig and was stuck living in an RV in a state park in California because that's all he could afford to live in because he couldn't find work. Like, if that's not being typecast because you're known as Captain Kirk and you can't get a job because it's, that's who he is, what is it?
Being typecast, right, it means you're only getting the same type of roles, and then you're saying he didn't get any roles?
Well, he didn't get any roles because of he's Captain Kirk.
He's synonymous with the one role. Yeah, I don't know. I would just think it'd be kind of a surreal thing. You take a job in 1966, mm-hmm. and you are, I'm going to go take, you know, join the show. Let's see if this
53
works.
53 years from now, you're still,
you're still Captain
incredibly
Kirk.
Profitable because of that show.
Yeah. That would be a total mind trip to go through, even though you've done these other things and you've done these albums and music and all sorts of things like that, and you want to think I've all these things. You're Captain Kirk.
Yeah, I had no idea, like, in looking at stuff this morning, like, wow, Captain Kirk, William Shatner at the Grand Ole Opry over the weekend. Had no idea he had a musical background whatsoever. Could have spent more time with him talking about his different ads and all that, his game show appearances. He had some famous ones with those. But it was still fun for me. I won't apologize for anyone for putting Bill Shatner out.
Oh, never. I thought he was fun. But some said, of course, Parkins asks Shatner a question based off Wikipedia. No, I found it on Wikipedia, and then I Googled, Eddie Murphy Star Trek, and there was stuff out there about episode four, but it was like one of those casting what-if things. It wasn't definitive, so I figured I'll ask. I know a lot about Eddie Murphy. I know nothing about Star Trek, so right. It was in my Venn diagram of Shatner knowledge.
Yeah, it makes me wonder what Eddie Murphy's career then would have been. Like, had he gone the Star Trek route?
Okay.
Well, I'm not disagreeing, yeah. But like, does it work as okay then if he goes that route and gets into the Star Trek thing? And I don't know if the Star Trek part continues on.
Right.
Like, maybe it leads to something else, but... Yeah.
So Star Trek 4 came out in 86.
So
he had already done Trading Places, Coming to America, the first couple of Beverly Hills Cop.
He was plenty established.
Delirious, Raw, and Saturday Night Live. So yeah, this was the portion of his career when he was beginning to consider expansion and change and push himself beyond just the standard comedies. And he did Boomerang, and he did Showtime, and he did a few others.
Sure.
But
Nutty Professor might not have ever happened unless
true.
It was for
right.
if he took the Star Trek route.
He might have gone more sci-fi instead
right.
instead
sci-fi
of animation
Eddie Murphy.
And kids movies. I'm telling you.
And who knows what the Charlie Murphy stories then on the Chappelle show years and years later would have entailed.
Hanging out
with his brother with the Star Trek cast.
Just saying, when I woke up today, I did not think I'd be asking Bill Shatner about a casting what-if involving Eddie Murphy.
Yeah, I didn't know what I wasn't expecting to ask Bill Shatner anything today, but yeah. I'm excited to be able to get to do it.
And then he goes, I don't remember that. I did do a movie with Eddie Murphy, but I don't remember which one.
I don't recall.
That's a crazy life. You did a movie with Eddie Murphy, but you don't remember what it was.
Yeah, I have no recollection.
Kelly,
is it that bad of a movie, do you think? Is it not one of his prouder moments?
I'll Google and find out during the break. Wikipedia will tell
Wikipedia.
Me. Kelly Kroll, one of the most versatile reporters in the city, has been at all of these odd Cubs press conferences dealing with racism and domestic violence and Islamophobia and media distribution deals and racist emails and all of them at the same time and different times. And, oh, yeah, some baseball, too. And Joe Maddon sang her happy birthday. So we'll talk to Kelly Kroll from Cubs camp coming up on The Score.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.